Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, yes. Amen. Amen. I want to just pray. Just thank the Lord a little bit more. Father, you're so good. Lord, we're so grateful.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks, God. I think sometimes we worship as part of the program instead of just enjoying being with the Lord. So it's good just to stop for a minute and worship. Last week, we were in Mark chapter 4. We talked about a storm that was on the lake. If you weren't here last week, we went through the story where Jesus was asleep in the boat and Jesus calms the storm. One of the things that we talked about was how the disciples, it literally says they were more afraid after Jesus calmed the storm. Encountering Jesus in all of his power surprised them more than the storm did. It actually says they were more afraid after Jesus calmed the storm. To be face to face with that much glory, that much power, they didn't know what to do with. And I used the term that God is an awful God and described it as we have the word awesome that literally means we have some awe about a situation. Wow, I'm pretty amazed about that. That's kind of incredible. But awful literally means full of awe. When it amazes us beyond where we know what to do with it, it doesn't fit in our box anymore. Okay, today I want to look at Mark chapter 6, verse 45. And if you'd bring that up for me, Alan, thank you very much. I'm going to read it out of mine. And it says, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side to Bethsaida. And he sent away the people," while he sent away the people. "And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray." This is talking about Jesus. "And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, in the middle of a very large lake. He was alone on the land, and he saw them toiling and rowing." So there's some supernatural vision going on, because you wouldn't in the middle of the night be able to do it naturally. "He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night," or somewhere after 3 a.m., "he comes to them walking on the sea," and listen to this phrase, "and would have passed by them." Interesting. "And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled," meaning afraid. "And immediately he talked with them and said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up to them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered." Okay, we're in Mark chapter 6. Mark 4 was the one we looked at last week. So not long after, something similar happens. This storm, it doesn't appear as bad as the last one. But Jesus is walking on the water, and they were afraid when they think it's a spirit, a ghost, some of the versions say. But when they realize that it's Jesus, they're sore amazed beyond measure, and they wondered. It's just interesting to me. That's not where I'm going to focus on today. But it's interesting, another story where they encounter the real Jesus, you know, not the paintings of him where he looks like, you know, he belongs in a museum or an art, you know, gallery, but the real Jesus and his power, and it messes with them. It doesn't fit in the box. Even their idea of the Messiah, it doesn't fit in. It busts the box wide open. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder. But the phrase I want to look at today is in verse 48. If you'll back up there, Alan, for me. It says, "He went to them walking on the water and would have passed them by." Why do you think Jesus would have passed them by? You ever think about that? Ever read that phrase? And it says, "He would have passed them by, but they cried out." And then he came to them. The pastor talks about sometimes the Word of God being like an owner's manual. And I really like that. It's a great description of the Word of God. Other people have said it's a love letter. And that's good too. It describes a different aspect of the Bible. But I look at the Bible sometimes like a window. And say, "Lord, I want to see who you are. I want to open this up and look through it and say, who are you? Not my preconceived box. But Lord, why did you do that? Why do you do what you do? Why would you have passed them by? Interesting thought. I looked this week at several scriptures. The story about the disciples, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus after Jesus dies. I don't know if you remember that one. It's in Luke 24, 28. You can write it down, look it up later. Jesus has died. Two guys are walking to a city called Emmaus. Jesus appears and starts talking to them. They don't see that he just appeared, but he just, you know, shows up, starts talking to them, starts explaining what the scriptures say about how the Messiah needed to come and to die. And then it says he would have gone on further, and they constrained him. No, stay. Stay with us. Come in. You know, come in for dinner. So many situations like that. I think about the first miracle of Jesus in John chapter 2. Jesus and the disciples are at a wedding. His mom comes to him and says they don't have any wine. And he says, it's not my time. But she asks, and he does it. She says to the servants there, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And that's a sermon for another day. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. That sums up the gospel right there. I want us to turn to one other place. John chapter 4, and start at verse 5. And I'm not going to read all of this, Alan, but if you want to put up verse 5 and 6. It says, then Jesus comes to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and now Jacob's well was there. And some of you guys know the story. Jesus meets a woman at the well. He asks her for a drink. She's amazed by being a man he's talking to her, being a Jew he's talking to her, because she's a Samaritan and a woman. And those were two lines that normally did not get crossed in their culture. And Jesus says in John 4:10, he's having a conversation with her, and then he says this. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you to drink living water. If you knew, you would have asked. I want you to remember that phrase, if you knew, you would have asked. I absolutely believe that if we knew the heart of the Lord, we would ask more than we do. And it's those times when Jesus literally was going to pass by them in the middle of the night, and they called out, and then he came to them. Or he's at a wedding, and he literally says, it's not my time to start the ministry, but somebody asks, and he says, okay, we'll start now because you asked. Whole bunch of other stories in the Bible where, you know, Jesus tells a story about an unjust judge, and a widow comes to him, and he specifically says that judge would not have listened to her except she was persistent. And then he goes on to say, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. And I just felt like the Lord stirred my heart this week that if you knew the gift of God and you knew who it was that was talking to you, you would ask. And sometimes I think the Lord just wants to stir up desire in us. He allows the winds to buffet against us as we're rowing. He allows us to see things that frighten us because he wants to stir up that desire and for us to call out. I believe that if they would not have called out, they would not have had the encounter with the Lord. He would not have stopped. It says he would have passed them by. And so just an encouragement, especially for those of us that come here a lot, you know, it's easy to get complacent. And one of the things that the Lord has dealt with me on many times in my life is passivity. You know, I love the Lord, but I don't go after it. I don't say, no, Lord, what about me? You know, there's a story about blind Bartimaeus on the road calling out to Jesus. People are trying to shut him up. Jesus lets it go on for a while. And the Bible says that he gets louder. He says all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then that's when Jesus responds. And it's that, okay, do you really want it? Are you going to let that desire stir up in you and say no? More than what the crowds think about me, more than, you know, what this looks like, Lord, I just want you. More than all of this, Lord, I want you. I want the real you. And I believe that that's when we have the real encounters with the Lord, is we respond to that desire in our heart and go after it. Let's pray. Father, thanks for a word of encouragement today. Lord, to go after you. Lord, to pursue you. Lord, it's easy to get sidetracked with stuff. Lord, it's easy to be passive. and to say, Lord, we know what's right, but Lord, not really go after it. Father, I ask today that by your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, you'll stir in us a desire. Lord, you said that no one comes to you unless you draw him. So Lord, today I ask you to draw us. Lord, we kind of talk about hungering and thirsting for you like it's a happy thing. But Lord, it doesn't feel good to hunger or to thirst. Lord, sometimes it's an ache in our heart, Lord. But I ask even for the ache, Lord, to be heightened when it's an ache after you. Lord, that desire, that hunger to know you, Lord, that you would increase that in us. And Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.